I greet you in the precious name of Jesus this morning. It is a blessing and a privilege to be with you again. I appreciated the service. I also really appreciated that song of Faithful Men. And we are in an age of apostasy, I believe. I believe that the church has always had an adversary, and Satan is always doing his utmost to bring that on the church. And I think of it sometimes in my work. I have an auto body shop, and I work with rust. And rust is one of those things that is happening underneath the surface and you don't realize it. And until you see that little bubble, that first little bubble, then there's an indication. But that's not when the rust first happened. It was working before that. And that's a little way how apostasy is in our lives. It's how sin is. It starts with an ever so small decision. As I thought about the Sunday school class, and as I thought about the message this morning, I realized that there's a strong connection, and I'd like to look at a very practical subject this morning that is something that I feel that can be a factor on the road of apostasy. The title of the message is The Ordinance of the Holy Kiss. And according to my notes here, it was longer ago than I realized, it was several months ago, we were having instruction class for a family that's coming to our church. They're a family from the community and not familiar at all with our practices. They mingled with the conservative people, Anabaptist people, for a number of years before settling on our congregation. But in taking them through the instruction class, and again, this is a family, so there's father and mother, there's adults. And that was a new experience for me. And it was a real blessing. This lesson came up, the lesson on the ordinances, and this was only one of the ordinances that we discussed that evening, but that was really an encouraging time for me, because this is one of the ordinances that we practice. And it's something that we do, that I do automatically. And I've done it already this morning. I didn't even think about it. Now I'm the one preaching about it. But it's something we do automatically, and I'm wondering if from time to time we need a reminder about this ordinance that we believe in. Because an ordinance, this is further on in my notes, but maybe I'll cover it here. An ordinance is something we practice that has an earthly observable thing about it. We see it. But it's not the thing. It's not the thing. It stands for something. But yet if we don't do the thing, then the thing for what it stands for kind of disappears. And so that means from time to time, even the things that we take for granted, a tradition that we just do, is something that needs to be retaught. It's something that, like I said, we take for granted and do without thinking about it. And some of us have done it for many years. My father tells me that prior to the conservative movement in the late 60s, this practice was disappearing. And the ordinance was revived with the formation of the fellowship movement in the late 50s in the Mennonite Church in the late 60s. And it, looking at history, it seems when this practice is lost, that other practices, other conservative, other Anabaptist traditions and ordinances are also lost. It seems like the ordinances that call for the most humility and submission are the ones that are the most quickly dropped when apostasy sets in. The old term for this is called the Christian salutation, and I think that term is maybe falling out of usage. I don't know that that's used much, but that's what it would have been called, and possibly still is called. Maybe it's just my own observation. It's not quite complete. Christian salutation, but there's something in that term that encompasses more of a holistic thought about what it is. It is more than just a kiss. It is a greeting. And 3 John verse 14, but I trust that I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee, greet the friends by name. I believe that is talking about the holy kiss or the greeting. We call it the greeting, the Christian salutation. Matthew 5, verse 47, and if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? What does that word salute? What's the Christian salutation? What is that? What is the saluting? How do you do that this morning? Well, we usually stick out our hand and we lean forward and we greet with a holy kiss and we say something, God bless you, or some other. That whole process is what's called the Christian salutation. Like I said, there's a handshake involved. Galatians 2 verse 9, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship. So the Christian salutation includes greeting by name, greeting with friendly words, and a handshake and a holy kiss. Also in the Bible, it talks about the kiss of peace. No, it does not. Sometimes it's called this. I'm not reading my notes correctly. I have not found this in the scriptures. It's not called the kiss of peace, but sometimes it is referred to as that. And I think I already alluded to that in John, 3 John 1, where it said, or 3 John 14, peace be unto thee. Jesus said the very same thing in John chapter 20, said something similar, I should say, in verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And that's the giving of peace. And there's something about the Christian salutation, or something about the holy kiss, the greeting, that is a ministry of peace. Peace unto you. Jesus said that later in that same chapter. Looking at the history of the ordinance, and I think this is important because one of the frequent criticisms of this ordinance is that it was for a specific time. It was given in the New Testament, yes. We understand the scriptures talk about it. We're going to look at those references, but it was not for the church in all ages. It was specific. And I don't think, and I know that that's not correct. With a number of times it is given in the scriptures and to a number of groups of people, it is not correct to say that it was just for this time. And another confirmation of that is the early church fathers who wrote about this. Justin Martyr said in somewhere AD 155 to 157, that is not very long after the apostolic period, having ended, quote, having ended the prayers, we salute one another with a kiss, end quote. And that was Justin Martyr in the 150s. Reading from the Mennonite Encyclopedia says this, it was not the same as the common kiss among friends in the Roman world, nor the Jewish salutation among friends, for it was a holy. Note that word. That's in the title, and we're going to be drawing our attention to this later, but it was a holy kiss observed only among members of the church. The evidence is clear that the kiss was uniformly used at both baptism and communion in the early church, and is found in all the ancient liturgies. Gradually, however, it disappeared from common use. There was some apostasy had set in from the 4th century on and became restricted to liturgical and ritual ceremonies. In other words, it was not done with the congregation, with lay brothers to lay brothers and lay and sisters to sisters. It was done only in special occasions, and there are some groups today that only use it in some special occasions. I'm glad we do not. I'm glad we use it whenever we meet for a worship service. But there was a time here when it fell away. However, going on, it was renewed again somewhat in its original sense in monasticism and in some of the medieval sects as the Albigensians and Waldensians. And then it goes on to talk about the Anabaptist movement revived this and maintained the observance of the Holy Kiss and the common fellowship of the brotherhood on a widespread, if not universal, basis. Okay, the Anabaptist period, it was revived into common fellowship. It's not surprising, and this I want you to get here. It's not surprising to find among the early Anabaptists the same spirit of love within the fellowship which characterized the early church. The Anabaptist revival brought about the same kind of fervor and spiritual appetite that the early church had, the apostolic church had. And also not surprising to find love's most intimate and biblical expression, the Holy Kiss. Their heartfelt love for their fellow believers caused them to adopt the terminology of the family in speaking of one another, referring to one another as brothers and sisters. And this is another important aspect, and it's not really related to the Holy Kiss, but let's keep our practice of saying brother and sister. Again, it's something we do, but let's keep doing it because of the connotations of those terms involving us into a family, a close-knit brotherhood family. This is a command that is given in scriptures, and we're going to look at those verses. It is another thing about the practice. Of course, we are familiar as Anabaptists, as Mennonites. We use the practice. The Amish use it to some degree. And it maybe varies somewhat from locale to locale. But it's also practiced today by the Orthodox churches to some degree. Maybe it's only in their liturgical ceremonies and things. But the Roman Catholic, the Eastern Orthodox, and some Lutheran and Reformed churches, it's practiced by the Orthodox churches. Now, what does that term Orthodox mean? According to my studies, Orthodox means conforming or obedient to established doctrine. So it seems to me this morning that it is practiced by those churches who are very serious about their religion, about their beliefs, and are practical and believe it with all their heart. And if you do that, brothers and sisters, with the scripture this morning, you're going to find yourself observing and obeying the scriptures, because the Bible says, greet you one another with a holy kiss. All right, let's go into that. The Bible says it, so we do it. All right, let's turn to Romans 16. We have, we're not going to turn to all the references. I think there's five different references, and some of those are just simply almost duplicates, word for word duplicates. We're going to first look at the Holy Kiss as what it's called here in four of the five times. Romans 16, verse 16. This is in a chapter of commendations and greetings. The Apostle Paul goes down through a list of his friends, and he says to the Roman Christians, he says, give my greetings to these people, this person, this person, this person. He goes on and on and on and on, all down. He says, salute. And finally in verse 16, he says, after all these lists of people, he says, salute one another. In other words, greet all of these with a holy kiss. And so, salute means to welcome. It's a welcome. It's a greeting. Greet them with a holy kiss. The churches, it says, the churches of Christ, it is done between church members, those who have submitted themselves to a brotherhood. I believe that the ones that are listed here were church members. They were not just members in the community, good friends that he met at the hardware store or whatever. It was brothers and sisters in the church. Also in 1 Corinthians 16, we're going to turn to one more. Like I said, the other two are very similar. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 20. The churches of Asia salute you, Aquila and... Okay, that's verse 19. Well, let's continue reading. Churches of Asia salute you, Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with a holy kiss. That is a strong statement. It doesn't say that this is something you should do sometimes. It says it's understood that that you just do it. Greet ye one another with a holy kiss. 2 Corinthians 13:12, greet one another with a holy kiss. 1 Thessalonians 5:26, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. It is of God. A holy kiss is of God because holiness comes from God. Holiness does not come from man. This is a holy thing that we are doing. It is not a casual kiss, even though some of us have practiced it for 30, 40, 50 years. It's not casual. There's nothing casual about it. And yes, even if we do it without thinking about it, I'm guilty of that so many times. I don't think about what I'm even doing. It's a habit. It's a good habit. But why? Why are we doing it? It is a holy kiss. It portrays the holiness of God and in some way transfers that holiness from brother to brother and from sister to sister. As I appreciate God, my Father, and I live my life for Him and serve Him, and I love Him, and I live my life and I desire to be holy in every aspect of my life, and I come to our service and I meet my brothers and sisters who are also living holy lives and are also living for the Lord, and we greet each other, and that love relationship with the Lord, that love and holiness, this way comes this way. It's a beautiful thing. I believe it is also holy in a sense that it does not it conflicts with sin. In other words, if there is sin in my life and I greet my brother with a holy kiss, it makes a mockery of the holiness of God and of this sacred ordinance. I remember a story an evangelist shared many, many years ago that always stuck with me. This was a missionary in another country, and he was preaching this doctrine of the holy kiss, and he mentioned about the importance of participating in it in a holy way. And about being true, as you practice it, that you are holy, and so on. And he was made this point rather strongly. And several Sundays later, he met one of the locals there, and who was a member. He stuck out his hand, but the other brother stepped back. I'm not sure if he shook his hand or not, but he stepped back. And what's the matter with you? Well, He was very honest. He said, "I've got a problem with you." And that was honesty. I don't know that we are quite that honest with it. Maybe we should be a little bit more. But it's something, I believe, to think about. When we practice the holy kiss, we say all is well between God and me and between me and thee. All right, there's another reference to the holy kiss in the scriptures, and that is 1 Peter. You can turn there to 1 Peter chapter 5. Gives a little different aspect to this ordinance. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 14. It says, "Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with all of you that are in Christ Jesus. Amen." What is a kiss of charity. Well, I believe this aspect, we know what charity means. This aspect of the holy kiss deals with brotherly love. It helps to keep the spirit of brother love within the brotherhood instead of just filling the benches. Why do we come together? Why do we gather? We gather because we love the Lord and we love the brother. We love each other. We want to be together. We don't just come to fill benches. We don't just come to fill time Sunday mornings, Wednesday evenings, Sunday evenings. The kiss of love is not a worldly, sensual type of love. And I think we all understand that this morning. We have clear direction on how to practice it, even though we don't go over this very often, but it's obviously practiced with brother to brother on this side and sister to sister. We know these things. It is not a sensual love at all. There's nothing sensual about it, even though the world looks at kissing, it your minds go to something else. And as even in our own lives, there's a romantic and loving kiss between husbands and wives. That's not what we're talking about. It is a love, it is agape love. It is a love that loves even when loving is hard. It is a love that accommodates, respects, put others higher than myself, thinks of others before myself. Brothers loving brothers and sisters loving sisters, even when love doesn't come easily or naturally. Because true charity, where does that come from? Does that come, again, like holiness, does that come out of man's heart? No, it comes from God. True charity comes from God. The kiss of charity says, I will be there for you through the ups and downs of life, not just the physical side of life with the health, job, family, vacations, and helping each other in a financial way when there's a loss. Those all are good things about brotherhood, but also the spiritual, rejoicing with victories and encouragement and support for trials and even during times of failure and defeat. I will be there for you. I will be there. No matter if you've done some things that just torque me the wrong way, I will be there. And the kiss of charity is a sign that we mean that with all of our heart. It communicates an acceptance of one another with realizing and experiencing the input given and received. That's a mouthful. But what I mean is a symbiotic relationship. Now, maybe that word is a big word too. Do you know what symbiotic means? There's a bird, I believe, that lives on animals, and it just lives there, and I don't remember the name for it. I don't remember what it's called, but it lives like on the back of cows and steers and something like that, I believe, if I remember right. Should have looked this up. But it eats the ticks, eats the insects, and so the bird gets its food. As it gets its food, it's providing a benefit to its host animal, and a brotherhood is like that. Symbiotic relationship. It's mutually beneficial. My needs are met by your strengths. My weaknesses are countered by your strengths, and my strengths can counter your weaknesses, and it's a symbiotic relationship that way, each helping one another. And again, the holy kiss, the kiss of charity, is a sign of that. Or it should be. Is it? Is it? I don't know you very well. And so, in a sense, a preacher coming to a congregation like this is a little bit more free, maybe sometimes, to say. But as you practice a holy kiss with one another, the kiss of charity, do you mean it? Remember, it's an ordinance. It's a sign of something deeper, a spiritual relationship. The kiss of charity will want to be practiced by those who desire openness and sincerity. Closeness does not come naturally to those who are not being real. It is a very close thing that we do. We're getting very close to one another as we practice the kiss of charity. And does that closeness equal a closeness in spirit and in heart and in sincerity and in truth? So a lot more is communicated when we greet one another than what we realize. Daniel Kaufman in Doctrines of the Bible says this, quote, "Usually the character of the individual is revealed in the character of the handshake. By it we form ideas of warmth or coldness, of sincerity or insincerity, and strength or weakness of character on part of those whose hands we grasp." Now, end quote. Now, I'm not saying that after service now that you're constantly analyzing how the handshake feels. If you shake my hands after the service, you might find cold hands, but I don't think that that comes from a cold heart. I just have cold hands, especially when I preach. I'm not sure why, but anyway, so I guess that point could be taken too far, but we do communicate, I think, as this is true to say, we communicate far more than what we think we do in our attitudes and in our ways that we relate to one another, and may we relate to each other from the heart. The final point to the message is encouragement for the ordinance. It has been a blessing in my life, and it's something that I want to continue to practice. Like we kind of alluded to before, history has shown that when a Mennonite church apostatizes, this is the first ordinance to be dropped. So I'm jealous for it, and hopefully the message this morning can be an inspiration to us to continue. How do we keep it alive? And I would say just to do it. Just to do it, continue to practice it. Everyone, youth included. And yes, I was a youth myself. And yes, I remember feeling kind of awkward. Not to greet my minister or my deacon or my grandfather or the other older men in church, but another youth. I just felt a little bit awkward, and I understand that, but are you, what direction are you going, youth? Are you growing in that? And I challenge you to do that. Yesterday we were having a picnic, and we were out on the grass. It was an open area, and some young men came and set up. Actually, I think they were there before us. They were close enough that we could observe them, and I think it was two at the beginning, and then another one joined, and then we realized what kind of people these were. They were Muslims, and they were greeting. They used the kiss. I guess in their understanding, it was a holy kiss, and they were not embarrassed about it at all. And something could be said for that. So why are we embarrassed? Why do we hesitate about it? I don't think we need to be. Sometimes when we get embarrassed about it, we allow a substitute to take its place. We embrace or a slap backs or a high five or a fist bump or an elbow bump or all those kind of things, and they are not good substitutes. We are a separated people. That's what the Anabaptists are. That's what the holy men of God, holy women of God are separate, because the general run of society, even nominal Christianity, is not separate. And so why would we then accommodate and greet each other just like nominal Christianity does? Another way of keeping the ordinance alive is by keeping it clean and pure and practice it respectfully. And I'm not going to say more. I think you all know where I'm going with that. We need to also protect its use. We practice it within our homes and churches. I would say within a home, maybe there would be times that appropriate in a home. a Sunday evening visit or something like that would be appropriate. But normally it's in our churches. It's not necessarily at Walmart. Now, if you feel like called to do that at Walmart, I'm not going to stand in the way. But for some reason, it just, to me, does not seem... I think we need to be think about where to practice it so that we protect its use. It is a holy kiss. It is a holy kiss. We do not, like I alluded to before, we do not practice it with everyone we meet. We do not practice it with those out of fellowship, as your ministry give direction to that. Those not at peace in their hearts with the Lord. Those who have never been a part of a Christian brotherhood would be the examples of those who would not share the ordinance with. We practice it with those of like precious faith. I want to turn back to Romans 16. We had read that verse earlier. But in Romans 16, verses 16, reading a few more verses here, we read verse 16, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now I beseech you, brethren. He goes right on. I guess the reason I'm bringing this in, because right after he's giving all this list of those who he wants the brethren in the church of Rome to use the holy kiss with one another. Salute all these for Paul's sake. Greet them in the name of Jesus and for his sake as well. I believe is what he was saying. Then he goes right on verse 17 and says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Avoid them. It, to me, that draws a strong line between those who he says greet and salute. And then he says avoid. For they that serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would for you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Again, continuing on with the point, we do not use it with everyone we meet. We do not, if there is someone out of fellowship or someone not at peace and someone who is causing divisions and offenses, we're not, as we withhold the greeting, we are not. It is not, I don't think it's to be used that way in a condemning or a judgmental way. We're not saying that that person is a sinner. We're not necessarily saying that. If we hesitate to greet with a holy kiss, but it's something to protect the purity of its usage is the burden behind it. But I think we could get to a point where we would use it in a condemning way, and I'm not condoning that this morning. However, if it seems best, if you're in a situation where you're unsure if you should greet, and maybe it's someone you don't know and you're not quite sure, it seems the best to initiate the holy kiss and let them make the decision. That's just for me. If maybe you feel differently about it. But that's how I've used it or made the decision in my own life. Another little historical nugget here before we close. In 1568, this goes way back to the Anabaptist period in South Germany. This was a conference, a church conference at Strasbourg in 1568. And they wrote up a bunch of decrees, you could say. That's not the word. But one of the 11th article of this discipline stated the use of the kiss and its restriction to the brotherhood. The fact that the kiss was limited as to sex in this discipline is also significant. And it says, it goes on to say this, the brethren and sisters, each to each, shall greet each other with the holy kiss. Those who have not been received into fellowship shall not be greeted with a kiss, but with the words, the Lord help you. I thought that was very interesting that they back in Strasbourg in Germany in 1568 that they drew that line, making it clear it's men with the men and sisters with the sisters. And it's those who are not in the fellowship, you should say the Lord help you. And just giving that encouragement, saying that the holy kiss is something that we want to practice with you, and the Lord help you till that time. And it was just interesting to me. As we realized in our Sunday school lesson this morning, there is apostasy around us. And I believe there's a spiritual darkness that is settling in across churches and our cultures today. May we, in simple obedience, continue this ordinance that shows forth purity, love, and brotherhood, so that it can be one more aspect to our Christian lives that encourages us to be faithful for that day when He comes for His church.